Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, whatever part of the world you're in, whatever time zone you are working to, you are very welcome.
Do you think we're crossing that many borders, son?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yes.
I saw statistics.
Go on.
4-6 weeks ago that told me every country in the world has had at least one listener to the Keys and Gray podcast.
So many countries in the world, 165,
is it? I'm not saying that they've had any more than one.
That's the same. That's a minimum of 165 we've got. I think it's 165.
If I have omitted to say so, I can't remember, even at this early stage. My name is Richard Keys.
And I'm Andy Gray.
Unfortunately, DJ isn't with us again this week. I understand entirely, Andy. He's a very popular boy in this part of the
yes,
world.
Yes, he is.
He's got an awful lot of things to do. He texted me this morning to make his apologies again, promising he'd be back next week, but adding that he hadn't yet finished his round of golf.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's right. He's in the Doha Masters, Amateur Masters here at the golf club. It's over yesterday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So
well, he's good
hoping to be still playing on Saturday because you've got to be in the top, I think it's the top 60 to be playing
on
the
easy.
Last day.
For him, that's easy.
Yeah, but it's scratch. There's no shot.
From where he came from with his golf to where he is now, that's
Remember
not a problem.
How hopeless he was when we first started playing him.
Yes.
How good he is now makes me sick.
New listeners are joining us all the time. It's terrific that you've found us. If you are a new listener, tell your mates, please, where we are. With production values, I think, Andy, getting stronger and better week by week. Luis was on fire.
Oh, he was on fire. He's on fire, Luis.
Absolutely on fire.
Do you know what he reminded me of? He reminds me of. It must be the Portuguese. I mean, when you think of him and Diogo Jota.
Well, I wanted to start there with Jota.
I
thought the comparison was going to be even grander than that. I thought you were going to mention Mourinho.
Oh, no. I wasn't going to mention Mourinho. Is Mourinho one of your top five?
To Dubai. Anyway, this podcast is available across all platforms. So give us a follow and subscribe. Please leave a review. 5 stars is better than one.
Mm-hmm.
Social media-wise, we can be found on both Twitter and Insta at Keys and Grey Pod. Keys and A-N-D, spell it out, Keys and Grey Pod. And we shall be bombarding you this week with highlights to ensure that we encourage others to join us.
Good.
So I wanted to start there, actually. Our top five, Andy. This is the Keys
and Grey
top five. Diogo Jota.
There you go.
Where did he come from and why did we all miss him? And why is it only now, really, that we're beginning to have a conversation like this and said, you know what? What a player this is.
Well, it happens. I mean, what age is he? 26?
Yeah.
27? Something like that. He's not young. He's not a baby. Do you know what? Sometimes it happens. And it's a bit like, let me throw a like. You know, Mourinho's had a lot of stick over the years for allowing Salah to leave Chelsea.
Well,
right?
The reason that he shouldn't get stick is that he wasn't there when Salah left Chelsea.
Was he not?
No.
All right. Well, De Bruyne.
But he gets, well, De Bruyne, yeah.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, when those players were that age, they weren't what they are now. They were still learning their trade. They were still maturing. I think what we've seen from Jota, particularly at Wolves, was a player who flew under the radar without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, absolutely. Whoever identified him at Liverpool, whether it was Klopp or whether it was his scouting staff, whoever it was, then 10 out of 10. Because they saw something, if I'm being honest. I always thought the kid was decent. He was never an automatic pick, even at Wolves. You know, he played, he was out a couple of games, he'd come in again, he would get the odd goal. He looked busy, he looked sharp, he looked bright. But he never looked 30, 40 million pounds worth of football.
No, he probably looked a bit like Adama Traore without the pace.
Yeah, and a bit more quality in front of goal.
And a bit more, yes.
Yeah.
But he was in that category. Yes. It wasn't someone that you would look at and go, do you know what? Top six will be chasing him.
And
when you consider
way.
He went in around about, I know not the same time, but around about the same time as Minamino, the direction in which he's gone and the progress he's made is incalculable, isn't it?
It is. I mean, he's taken his chance with both hands. I mean, if somebody had come up to me, all right, it's Liverpool and he's at Wolves, and that's a step up in anyone's eyes. That's a step up. So when Liverpool come calling, and you're Diogo Jota, and they say, we want you to come to your club. You go, you look at who you're up against, you think, who's your front three?
Cool.
Oh, hold on a minute. Yeah. Salah, Mane and Firmino. When Firmino was in his pomp, by the way, when Firmino was the most important of the trio. So you'd have looked at that and gone, Lord, how many games am I going to get, Jurgen? Well, yeah. You get the League Cup, and you might get the odd game here and there. And in fairness to Jota, he went, he was big enough and confident enough to say, yeah, I should be in this company, and I think I can affect it. And my goodness, he's affected it all right.
Okay, here comes number four. The FA's betting probe centering on the yellow card.
I was going to ask you about that. I saw this.
Mm. Now, this is something, Andy, that we have discussed for a decade.
Yep.
We used to do these stories when we were at Talk Sport.
Correct.
And you and many others would always point fingers at me, telling me I'm a conspiracy theorist. And I would just say that, for me, it, not only was it inevitable, it was obviously inevitable that what happens elsewhere in the world was going to creep into the Premier League. I remember, and you do too, I remember being called into an office on a Friday morning once for a pre-production meeting and told that under no circumstances was I to mention Matt Le Tissier's book nor his admission that he tried to punt a kickoff into touch to win first throw in. I mean, you see, we shouldn't laugh.
I know.
But I mean, Matt largely got away with that one, and it's almost a sort of, oh, P.S., by the way, do you remember?
Yeah.
But this, Andy, I do concern myself that it is creeping.
Right. Well, when I read the beginning of it, I was really concerned. I thought, wow, they're talking about 55 grand or something.
Yeah.
It was bet on on a booking. 55. But then I read on, and it's saying that, well, they've looked into it and they don't feel that there was anything irregular about it. So
no.
What happened there then?
Well,
between the beginning and end of that article I read?
I would suggest to you that somewhere in the middle of that article, somebody has said, we don't want to make too much of a fuss about this. My view is that they will be concerned because it is unlikely to be a one-off. And I think it's more than likely it becomes regular. It's already happened in the lower leagues. And when, listen, we've discussed this previously on this podcast. When I'm not talking about top-end players.
No,
listen, when is enough enough?
Yeah, never. Never for some. Never for some.
Go all the way back to Peter Swan, the former England centre-back, playing for Sheffield Wednesday, fixing betting on pools games in the 60s. People, if sums of money are involved, are always likely to have their heads turned, aren't they?
If easy sums of money are to be had.
Yes.
Easy sums.
Yes.
Because it's so easy to do.
Okay, number three. Derby County on the brink of extinction. Yeah. Extinction.
Wow.
Martin Samuel, this morning being Friday. Terrific piece today. Mm. Derby on the brink of extinction. They've already had 21 points deducted. Isn't that enough? My information is Mike Ashley wants to buy the football club.
Oh, okay.
But will not buy the football club whilst there are legal matters outstanding with both Middlesbrough and Wickham.
Well,
Middlesbrough
right.
claiming that they were denied the opportunity of a playoff place by Derby in the year they went on to win that playoff. Borough finished seventh, a point behind them. Wickham are saying they might not have been relegated from the Championship
last year.
And they're looking, so they're looking for $6 million in compensation and Middlesbrough $55 million. I'm sure there's a settlement figure somewhere along the line.
Must be.
But I don't think Ashley wants to inherit this problem.
Quite right.
I equally don't believe, surely, that anybody is daft enough to allow Derby County to go the same way as Bury over a matter of that inconsequence, really, when you look at the sort of monies that have been poured into and out of
staggering.
That.
Staggering. It's staggering where the club has ended up. Absolutely staggering. How those guys, including Wayne Rooney, how they go in every day, train, work hard, not knowing whether they're going to be paid at the end of the month or whether they're not going to be paid at the end of the month, go out there, know that they've got to play harder than most because they want to stay up and they've done brilliantly so far. in that attempt. But for a club like, when I think back, yes, there are clubs have gone to Wall, and maybe fans of Bury, Keezy, and others who have folded over the years. But we'll be going to that. Hold on, Mary Keezy. What do you mean we don't want to? What do you mean we should? It's tough. If they don't run their properly, then, well, like Bury, you've gone to the wall.
Yes,
sorry.
There is that argument, and I understand it entirely. Yeah. What would an independent football administrator make of this? Seriously.
You tell me.
You know, Mel Morris, local man, local loaded businessman, local loaded businessman who bought his own club. It's gone tits up.
How have they done that? Have they overspent? Have they been?
I think they've overspent. I think they were overambitious at different times. Right. It is. It's the same with everybody in that league, isn't it? That wants to get promotion. You only need to go once to the Premier League,
and you're made for a while,
and you're done, aren't you? Really?
Once, go once, earn a load of money, come down.
Which is why I've
plus.
Argued for a long time that parachute payments are wrong, and that to come back with $100 million. Rewarding failure. That's the minimum that the team finishing bottom gets. Okay, they're staggered payments, but it is $100 million.
Do you think we're the only sport that rewards failure in the way we do?
Oh, Benitez.
That's what I mean. That's what crossed my mind.
$8 million again.
For failure, for 200
in the
years
last
of failure.
2.5 years, what's he had? Out of Newcastle.
China.
4-6, China. Oh. I've got two at number two.
Well, that's a top six then.
The first one is Manchester United's home kit. It always makes me laugh when I see these stories. Really? Leaked online. Leaked by who?
What do you mean home kit? What do you mean?
Well, new home kit for next year. There it is.
Oh, I see. You mean pictures have been leaked?
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, it's red. Yeah, that's something. That's a start.
Tell you what colour the shorts are?
It's got a colour. Shorts should always be white. That season with Mourinho when they went black was a disaster.
What did Fergie insist on? White?
Always red, white, black. And then do what you like.
Yeah.
But it's red, white, black.
Yeah.
And in Europe, we play in white socks, but it's
I thought
red,
you weren't bothered
white,
about tradition, black. Like football and things like that.
No, I am bothered about tradition. Okay, and by the way, listen, the colour is important. The collar is what's exciting a lot of Manchester United fans. Mm-hmm. It's a throwback to Cantona. But it's the suggestion that this information is leaked. That always makes me laugh. Of course it's leaked.
Yeah.
I need to get it out there now.
Correct.
Although,
with publicity.
If I am inclined, and of course I'm not,
I wouldn't
condone such a thing.
No.
If you're wanting to make replica jerseys, there you have it.
The new United one. Get out quick.
Yes.
That'll be cheap. What will it be? 150 quid? Something like
It's bound to be. My second number one.
Number two.
And my second number two came from Andy Dunn, and I'm flicking through my iPad here and looking to try to find this. It's a follow-up to the suspicious betting.
Oh, okay.
He's suggesting that in his column this week, a lot of money was poured on Granit Xhaka.
Getting sent off?
Here we are. The Football Association are investigating suspicious yellow card betting in relation to an Arsenal player.
Right.
Apparently someone backed Granit Xhaka not to get one.
That'd be good odds. That'd be good odds.
And our number one this week... And this is something that you and I, and I in particular, have discussed many times. Premier League loans.
Yes, yes.
Radical new plans to limit Premier League clubs to loan just 6 players per season.
Okay.
6. Chelsea have got 9 out, I think, at the moment. Listen, last year had 20, 30?
You've got to say easy.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Now, I understand entirely that it's good for a player's education. To get out and try himself at a higher level than that which he might be playing at the club.
But it's unfair.
I think it's unfair. I mean, what this doesn't say, Andy, this is a FIFA announcement, by the way.
Right.
What this doesn't say is that, and I believe fervently the Premier League should, stop clubs lending players to each other.
Correct.
This past week, a Chelsea player has been top scorer at 3 different Premier League clubs. 3. That can't be right.
No, it can't.
Brocha, Gallagher, and of course...
Yeah.
Whoever's leading
at Chelsea. Yeah.
That's wrong, Andy, because it does adversely affect the competition.
Of course it does.
If Conor Gallagher scores, I don't know, 3 against Liverpool that are critical, that cost them points, that's not right.
No.
So either commit or send elsewhere.
Yes.
Would be my view.
Well, I agree 100%. It's wrong that he's not allowed, or they're not allowed, for obvious reasons. I mean, they're not allowed to play against a parent club because... you can imagine being allowed to play against your parent club and scoring a goal that costs your parent club the league title wouldn't sit very well with your fans. So therefore, yeah, you can go on loan, you can go to the Championship, you can go abroad. There are plenty of places where you can learn, you get some football and continue your education if you're young, or keep yourself fit if you're slightly older, without having to play for a Premier League club. I agree with you.
Andy Dunnigan, who you know I like to refer to often in this podcast, opening paragraph today. When Big Head was replaced by Slab Head during Manchester United's win at Brentford on Wednesday, there was only ever going to be one reaction.
I know what you're saying.
What a great, what a great opening.
That's terrible.
but it's not,
I know,
is it?
I know, no.
You saw it, we all saw it.
Oh, yeah. And it was an absolute nap what his reaction was going to be.
But... You know, this is the same guy who 10 days ago was talking about setting an example, young players following him, working as hard as him, accepting responsibility and discipline like him. I mean...
How do you think Ranić handled it?
I think brilliantly, because I don't think, Andy, it's his problem. Why go looking for trouble?
No, it's not his problem.
Why should he fall out with him now?
Well, it's the late, great Jock Steen, I think, who said that. Mm-hmm. Don't go looking for trouble in football, because it'll find you. Mm. Don't worry about it.
Ranić won't be there next season.
No.
He needs performances from him now.
No.
Whether Ronaldo's there next season, I would doubt very much. Your thoughts on that?
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, whoever comes in, as you've always said, whoever comes in has to assess, okay, Cristiano Ronaldo, yeah, brilliant. You know, for the club, amazing. For our social media followers, amazing. For everything outside of playing, amazing. But he'll be 37 then, going on 38. Even at his age and even at his quality, is he going to be able to produce? If I was a new coach going in, and I was a big supporter of him going there, I really was. I thought it was a great move for what he cost them. And I don't think, he's had tantrums, but I don't think on the pitch he's disappointed. I think he's got his quota of
eight goals, I think.
Well, I bet he's top goal scorer.
He might be, but my view... Well, you know my view on it. I thought it was a romantic signing.
Yes.
It was unnecessary. I think it was inevitable he was going to cause more problems than he solved. And does he really believe that whoever is going into Manchester United in May is going to build a team around
him? No, that's what I'm saying. If I was going in there as a new coach, an ambitious coach, looking to the present and the future, you have to look at the present. You can't just look at the future. The present's very important for Manchester United. Then would Ronaldo figure highly in that? No. You might go in there and say, as Big Ron Atkinson said to you and I on Keys and Grey, our podcast, what, a month, 2 months ago?
Very good, son. Very good plug, by the way. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, very
like
good.
That? Yes. Am I getting better?
Yes.
Okay, good, good.
Yeah. Well, you could have added the widely respected and enormously influential, listened to.
Didn't want to over that. No. Don't over egg the cake, my mother used to say. when Ron said, if he had been at United, he would have got Ronaldo and said, listen, want you here, love having you here, want you help the young kids and all you can, and everything you do, what you've done preparation-wise, but I'm going to use you sparingly, I'm going to play you in certain games, and I'm going to have you sub in a lot of games because I want your impact, you impact the games. Now, if that's an offer to Ronaldo, what does he say next year if the new coach goes in and says that to him?
I don't know what he believes lies ahead for him, because the best days, and by the way, I agree entirely with you, I've always said it, for me, the greatest over the last 10-15 years. Mm-hmm. But what lies ahead? Not a lot. Mm-hmm. Everything's behind him now.
You know who's last to know when it's time to go?
You, the individual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember it vividly.
Really?
Oh. One day I woke up and I thought, no, it's time to go. And you're thinking, no, I'll go another year. And even when I left Rangers, that was like a brilliant way to have ended. It was a year at Rangers and winning the title there. When I left Rangers, I still thought I was 34. My knee was knackered. I still felt maybe I could drop down the leagues and still play on. And then you think, no. And it takes a lot for the individual. It's like the boxers. Mm. Boxers never say no, Richard. Do they? Mm. A boxer always thinks, I've got one more fight in me. I've got one more fight in me. No, you haven't. And I think the hardest thing for Cristiano Ronaldo and people like him and Messi, who have been the greats for 15 years, because when that's one day he wakes up and it's not there, I guarantee you, I don't care how rich he is, how much money he has in the bank, how many followers he's got on his social media, the worst thing he'll wake up and do I'm not going to play football again.
And I'm not horrible. Going to work today to smell freshly cut grass.
Yes, I'm not going to sit in the dressing room with all my mates and have a chuckle and a laugh and go training and smash footballs into the net and enjoy it.
No, I remember the late, horrible, great Ray Wilkins telling me, and Ray's a, we worked with an awful lot, didn't we? He said it's the next best thing, the TV studio, the studio, to a dressing room.
Aye.
And I enjoy coming in for that reason, because I can mix it with the chaps again.
Yeah.
A couple here, that I repeat, it's Friday morning. There's a game tonight between Watford and Norwich.
Big one.
Don't know the outcome, obviously, for Saturday morning. But if Norwich win it, would you believe they come out of the bottom three for the first time in 52 matches?
Wow, do they really?
52.
Well, that's consistency. I'm a terrific level. Well done.
I also found this week.
Wow.
A Premier League table put together by a supercomputer. I've looked long and hard to find out what information is put into this supercomputer for it to come together with its conclusion.
Is it given us a league table?
It's given us a final league table. Yes, which is quite interesting.
Let me guess. Can I guess?
Yes, bottom three.
Bottom three. And that computer has given us Norwich.
Yes.
Burnley.
Yes.
Norwich, Burnley, I think the computer will have given us Newcastle.
No.
Ah!
Watford.
Oh, yeah.
Reading up from there, Norwich, Burnley, Watford, down. Newcastle survived by the skin of their teeth. Everton.
Shut up.
Brentford.
Stupid computer.
Brentford. That's the bottom. That's the bottom six. From seven up.
Oh, Brentford, what number are they?
Well, that was just about where they said they would finish.
15,
yeah,
they said.
Yeah. Aye. Yeah. Top seven.
Man City.
No, I'm building up to number one.
Oh, sorry.
Seven.
Seven. West Ham.
Yes. Six.
Spurs.
No.
Arsenal.
No. Manchester United.
Ooh.
Five.
Spurs.
No.
Arsenal.
Yes. Four.
Spurs. Chelsea,
yeah,
Liverpool, yeah. Man City.
Interesting, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Just as an aside, and we'll see whether this happens or not, I'm hearing that Liverpool might have a problem with the Football Association as a result of their COVID postponements, having won the COVID derby last night to take a place at Wembley in the final. It could result in disciplinary measures. It could result, worst case, and I believe this is what's being discussed around the club, in a points deduction.
Well, what are they looking at that Liverpool may have done wrong?
Well, there was a lot of... Yes.
Because I don't know.
Allegedly done wrong.
Allegedly,
there was a lot of discussion around the false negatives, wasn't there?
Yes.
The timing of the tests that were taken and the verdict on the tests and Liverpool applying for a match to be postponed prior to that being the case. If that's so, then I would argue that maybe Arsenal have got a few problems. I mean, Arteta this week has come out and argued very, very strongly.
Yeah, he has.
They've done nothing wrong. Look, no one ever said that they didn't have injuries.
No.
Or that they weren't short as a result of players that they'd loaned.
Correct.
But worst case, they had two COVID cases.
Worst case.
Yeah. Well, they've slipped a second one in.
Oh, okay.
That's the worst case figure. Two COVID positives. Now, he can argue all he likes, Arteta.
About AFCON, about the African Cup of Nations, about injuries, about Xhaka being irresponsible and getting sent off, and missing the game. Can I go? He likes, I agree with you. And I think I know what you're going to say, but they should have been made to play the football match.
Of course they should.
They should have said, you've got half a dozen players in the under-23s or the under-21s, get them in your squad and play the football game. It's nonsense to think if you have one or two COVID tests, or three or four with COVID, with the groups that they've got the size of now, Richard, that you should be allowed to cancel.
Remember Middlesbrough calling their own game off at Blackburn
and
losing 3 points as a result?
And went down.
Well, maybe the same rules that affected them apply now.
The Spurs won in the last day of the season when they all went down with food poisoning.
Yeah, and they played.
10 of them, and they made them play.
well,
come on. No.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. Entirely. Our guest this week, Andy, a very good mate of ours, someone who has been maligned to a enormous degree down the years.
Yep.
Bearing in mind that when he came onto the scene first as a manager, he was regarded as one of the innovators.
Correct.
Do you remember?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
That changed. Don't know where it changed. Maybe he'll have some thoughts on that. But I'm really happy to say that our guest this week is Sam Allardyce. We'll be right back. Sam, how are you doing?
Yes, very well, thanks. Back at, well, I've had a spell of the Omicron. I caught it on the couple of days after I got back from Dubai for the New Year.
There's a shock. Where were you, Sam, again? Dubai.
Well, yes, my favourite place, as you well know.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you wouldn't have caught it leaving Qatar, let me tell you that now.
No, you definitely wouldn't.
No, we're a lot more careful here than they are in Dubai. There we are. Anyway, good to hear you recovered. Was it a problem or not?
Yes, thank you. No. The three jabs that I've had were exceptionally good compared to the last time I had it. I mean, last time I had it, I felt like I was on death's door, but this time was pretty mild, I'm glad to say.
Do you know what? I'm just going to ask you, Sam, I'm just kind of shooting off at a tangent here. We're only going to talk about this, but while you're mentioning Omicron and the virus and what have you, what would your stance be if you were coaching now? One or two of the coaches have said, Gerrard, Jurgen Klopp, if I've got a player that I want and he's unvaccinated, I won't sign him. What would your stance be on that if you were coaching right now?
If I was coaching right now, I would say the same.
Would you?
Yeah, I would, yeah. I mean, we're far too soft over here, Andy, you know what I mean? I mean, we're so soft, you know, that you know, people don't realise the consequences of people that don't have a jab for whatever reason. I mean, you know, look at Australia.
Yep.
They know how to do it, don't they? You know, well, Djokovic breaks the rules and they go, right, off you go, get back home. I mean, that wouldn't happen over here. We'd have him in that. We'd let him have COVID over here and play. I'm telling you.
Well, yeah.
No problem about that.
It's not shooting off at a tangent, Andy, because today I read in The Guardian, unvaccinated players at Chelsea could be barred from the return Champions League game against Lille.
Of course,
because
France.
In France, you also require to be vaccinated.
Wow.
So it's an issue, whatever Boris Johnson thinks.
Players are becoming pathetic in this world, Richard. They're becoming, you know...
No, go on, keep going.
Overprotected. They're becoming overprotected babies.
Are you not part of that culture, Sam? Did you not add to that, or were you different? You've managed in this era.
You have to change the way you manage to cope with it, otherwise you won't get a job, Andy. You know what I mean? You have to become the arm round butter up. I'm a completely different manager to when I first started. Yeah. You know. I mean, even to the point of you try and discipline a player, the PFA come in and say you can't do that, you can't fine him that much, you can't do this, you can't. And you have to go through a load of interviews and meetings and then finally come to the conclusion, well, I might as well have not bothered in the first place, you know. So it's a real, real problem in terms of, it adds to lack of discipline in today.
What would you have done with Lukaku?
What would I have done with him?
After the interview, let me give you a steer here. I said to Andy...
After the interview?
I said to Andy that I think there's a generation of managers. See, I think Reedy would have said, listen, son, you've been an absolute dick, but I need goals today, so get out there and you owe me. That's what I... Yeah. You know, a generation that we used to watch and be around.
Well, Sam, I think, would have been of that ilk. I'm sure he would.
I don't know. Would you, Sam?
Yeah, I caught Gio Fiat on a Friday night and said he got 20 minutes to play, and if he's no good, I'm going to bring him off and embarrass him in front of the press. And he was caught out on a Friday night drinking Louis Ronda Cristal. So
good lad,
good lad. How did his 20 minutes go?
He came off with 15 minutes to go and had a standing ovation.
There you go. Andy Townsend told us a story recently, Sam. He said that him and Gazza got caught out. They were at Middlesbrough at the time due to play Sunderland, and they went to Newcastle to watch a rock concert and walked into the same hospitality box as Reedy, who of course so they came to an arrangement. Reedy said to them, if you win tomorrow, I won't mention anything to Robbo.
Yeah.
If we beat you, I'm going to tell him. Middlesbrough beat them.
By the way, bad managing, Reedy. That was too much of an incentive.
Rolled them up there.
But obviously, what Tuchel did, he went the other way and took him out. And I just think he created, again, more problems than actually he had initially.
Yeah.
He's losing it a bit, though, don't you think? I mean, he looks like he's discontented with the performance of the players and actively in his body language. It's coming across when you see him in his interview and you see him on the touchline that he's, you know, he seems to be unhappy with the players and the way they're performing, and as if it's not his fault. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think as a manager, you cannot portray that. You can't portray that it's your fault. I mean, sometimes it is, obviously. Sometimes you've got to look at yourself. But, you know, if you're portraying it, you've got to get behind the players and get them on the side. And I think he had that last season, of course. But is that wearing away now with his methods? Are his methods so some of the players are not quite on board as much as they were last season? But they've obviously got the same side.
Yeah, I mean, Sam, I always think of coaches, and I've always said to Keys when we're talking, and I think you would agree, is that, you know, you go in as Tuchel did last year, right, and everything just flows, seamless. So you're not really having to work overly hard. Players have bought into you. You're winning football matches. Yep. You get to the Champions League final. You win it, right? You start this season quite well. All of a sudden, things aren't going well. Does a good coach see that, adjust and figure it out? Or does a coach go, oh, wow? Do some coaches go, I'm not quite sure how we sort this. Why was it so good last year? And why is it so bad this year? How big a problem is that for a coach?
Fergie answers that. Fergie answers that by the fact he doesn't even let them get there before they even start. So before the pre-season starts, he's there and he's into them. And he's going, don't give me any of that, you know, we won the league last year, or we won the cup, or that's not good enough. We can't just think that. We can rest on our laurels and just ease off. And then, so he hammered it straight away before it even became a problem to his players.
He could, Sam, and it was again, you're talking about a different era. You see, in a way, you've blazed a trail.
Yeah.
Keep taking clubs around about December, January, spend a few quid, deliver and walk. You know, when they used to change clubs in Italy every 3 years, I remember looking at that formula and thinking, wow. But are we there that maybe a coach's lifespan now is only 18 months, 12 in some cases?
I think so. I think that there's the odd exception to that. The only exception to that's going to be, you know, obviously Jurgen Klopp at the moment. But, you know, after that, I mean, Chelsea have been known for nobody more than three seasons, isn't it? Even with all the success they've had, you know. So, you know, I think that Moyes's got a chance of doing that more than that.
Only if he doesn't go back to Everton.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we will.
No. I'd be testing his result.
It's shortening. It's definitely shortening. There's no doubt it's definitely shortened. Throughout every division, I'd say, definitely. So I think the days of when you looked down at the academy and you set the tone of the academy and you set the structure of the academy are long, long gone.
I agree.
As a manager. Because you can't afford to do it. And there's so many people there that want to poke the nose in anyway. You might as well let them get on with it and see if they've got a player. I mean, you know, I mean, I still say that the one thing that most clubs still should spend more money on and don't spend enough is recruitment. And I think that recruitment is everything to a manager and everything to the football club, the longevity of the club. And I think that when you put yourself in a very strong position, you can start buying players for the future. You have to get them ready first. And once you've got them ready, which is what Everton haven't done. They've had so many attempts for so many different managers to get the first team right. Then you can start thinking about the players that they bought in from the lower divisions to see if any of them were good enough. And,
did I hear Mrs. Allardyce just come in there, Sam? Did Mrs. Allardyce just step in the room?
No, she didn't.
Sam, what kind of shape is the game in right now?
I think it lacks contrary to what everybody said, it's only a personal opinion on over the years. It's lacking a bit of entertainment for me.
I agree.
Andy, I don't see enough action in both boxes anymore. I see all this this sort of keep ball, like you mean. I think, you know, if Lukaku, you know, or Calvert-Lewin are playing, which are the very few big centre-forwards in the Premier League today, by the way.
Mm.
Centre-forwards have reduced by between 5 and 6 inches. Do you know that?
Yeah. Well, you just look at
it. Well, funnily enough, I didn't, but there's no reason why I wouldn't have expected you to know.
So playing off a centre-forward has become... You wouldn't want to play today because they wouldn't play off you.
No, I've said that to Keezy a lot. I admire centre-forwards who I watch, Sam, who are jogging from side to side, looking at a position, taking a position, ignored, back across, shuffle across to the other side, ignored, back across. I've said to Keezy a million times, drive you nuts sometimes.
Unbelievable, you know, and I think that's just the brainwashing of the outside world of football in terms of what they expect or what they're saying should be the only way to play. I mean, and of course, when you start changing the rules to suit that and make it even worse, making it worse by playing it to your centre-half in your own 6 yard,
yes,
not increasing the entertainment value, it's making the centre-half's life extremely difficult for one. And most of the time, they'll give it away in their own half and give the opposition a chance to score.
I've never, ever subscribed to the view that either you or I or my colleague here were dinosaurs because we like our football played differently. But how do we dodge that allegation in playing the game in a way that I think most football fans want to see? Manchester City, look, glorious, and they're an exception. They can do it. When you're trying to come out of the third division or the championship, playing the same way with players that obviously can't, you know, there has to be another way to do it, surely. And how do we dodge the allegation, always levelled at you, and you know it, that you know the long ball is long since dead.
I think that you can't get over it now because it's inaugurated in the FA.
Yeah.
And then the FA are telling everybody and all the kids at 9, 10, 11, 12, even if you lose it, keep doing it. So there's a sad irony to that, like you mean, because all of a sudden losing it doesn't become a problem in that position or that area. So you're actually teaching them the wrong way because losing it in that area is criminal. Will always be criminal in the game of football because you're giving the opposition a shot at goal or one pass to score, and that would be, you know, putting yourself in. I understand that they can have a go, but there has to be the reality of sometimes if it's not on, then you push up.
Yes, okay.
Then you win a knockdown. You win a knockdown and you play from there. But this obsession about we can only play one way, probably why it's making it so boring, you know?
I think, Sam, what do you think of this then? I think there's exceptions, right? And I hate to say this as a toffee, right? But I think Liverpool play the game differently, very differently from Manchester City. Take last night.
Yeah.
A long ball. Yeah. Trent Alexander-Arnold's ball to Jota for the second goal.
Brilliant.
Manchester City would never score a goal like that, or very, very rarely.
Mm. Oh, they would, Andy. Andy, they would, from the goalkeeper.
yeah, point taken.
The goalkeeper will play that goal, the ball, and they'll score, point, believe you me.
I stand corrected, you're right.
He plays the longest ball in the Premier League.
He does.
But one thing about him is it's the most accurate as well, by the way.
But the one thing I'm saying, Sam, is that they're not obsessed by passing Liverpool. Yes, they'll keep the football, but it's no coincidence that Trent Alexander-Arnold and Andy Robertson are the major suppliers of chances and goals in their team. And that's playing balls in from those wide areas. And they don't have 6'6" centre-forwards. They have Salah, Mane and Jota.
What was it Terry Venables always said? Terry always said, practice does not make perfect. It makes permanent. Mm. So if you're practicing the wrong things, Sam, you're permanently doing the wrong things going forward. And that fits into the example you just gave us about 8 and 10-year-olds, I think.
Well, I think Liverpool play through the lines very quickly, much quicker than Manchester City.
Yeah.
And I think that's what... where their entertainment value comes. And you're not, I'm not, listen, We'd all like to play and have the players Manchester City got. We can play like that, or Liverpool have got. But when you haven't, and you keep trying to do it, when the ball keeps rolling under your fullback's foot for a throw-in for them, what do? You carry on to keep doing it. You know what I mean? Or do you say, well, just a minute, when you get that ball, put it in the channel, and when you're up front, you run in the channel, and then if you can play it into midfield, that's fine, but that's it, keep it simple. But there we go. But, you know, everybody will still keep calling that old-fashioned.
I know. Do you know what's amazing, Sam? Because we talk about being entertained and enjoying football, but one of the best games that's been touted out, they've said, oh, what a great game that was. It's one of the best we've seen for ages, for years. And recently, Spurs against Liverpool down at Tottenham.
Yes.
You know, that was end-to-end, Sam. There was people, they got it forward, they moved it forward. Didn't just whack it, but they moved it at pace. There was everything, the intensity in the game, chances created. And all of a sudden, people are going, oh, what a great game. But that used to be the norm.
Yeah, Spurs weren't bad at Leicester either, were they, late on? Sam, on behalf of my mate, and it's really the reason I called you this week, what is wrong with Everton Football Club?
Well, how long have you got?
What is wrong with Everton Football Club? You haven't got enough air time for me to tell you what is wrong with Everton Football Club.
Well, funny enough, we have.
I will tell you, it starts at the top, and it's the top has to get itself in order because it still hasn't.
You mean Mashiri?
All of them.
Right.
Well, he's not top, is he? Usmanov's top. Let's be honest.
Usmanov doesn't do the day-to-day running.
No, but he provides the funds.
He's one of the funders. You know what I mean? And you can't blame him. You can't blame Farad and Usmanov for the money.
Yeah,
that's fair. Found it. The problem is the rest of the structure has failed. The money that's been spent by the choice of the players. And that has caused huge problems. And because they've decided to change managers constantly, out goes one, in comes a new one. What does he want? He doesn't want that. He wants this and that, and so on and so forth. So they've never let anybody plan the way forward, which is what's needed. The structure of the football needs to be planned for 1, 3, and 5 years and stay this is the way to go. But that coach must keep winning for the time being to try and get them into the new stadium. But everything from the top to the bottom, revamped and made in put in the right way and using the right people. I'm not so sure some of the people they're using are not the right people. So that causes conflict between the board, the director of football, the manager or the head coach, or who is it? What are we getting? Who do we want? Where is he? How do we get him? And that's not... You know, that's a big deal, like you mean.
So it wasn't big deal. Wasn't Rafa's fault then?
Well, it was his fault because he couldn't get the team that he had getting enough results, like you mean. But you see, I got results, but it wasn't that once enough either.
No.
So I only lost two games at home in the entire time I was there, and that was to Manchester United, who finished second, and Man City, who finished first. But that's still once enough.
That's not good enough for us, son. Sorry, Sam. That's once a sacking for me all day long.
Yeah. How many banners have been up like Rafa saw at Norwich?
Yeah.
Because then I saw one about Martinez the other day when there was a suggestion that Roberto was coming back. Then I saw somebody dug out the archives, their banner from the Everton fans saying, Martinez, get out of our club. I think I saw one of them at some stage. Like, you know, I'd have to ring Moyes to see if he ever saw one as well. Like,
I think he did, Sam, over that period of time.
Ronald Koeman saw one, and probably Marco Silva. So you don't take it personally, because it really happens to every manager if you don't do what the Everton fans think you should do. I don't knock them for that. They're entitled to do it. But it doesn't help.
But who next? Who next? Ferguson? Rooney? Moyes? Maybe? Moyes?
No, Moyes, he won't go back with what he's doing at West Ham. He's got too good a team now.
You've managed at West Ham as well, Sam, and you know it's a difficult place to sustain
absolutely.
A length of time. Yeah.
But there's, like I say, though, but there's a structure at West Ham you can work within that can make you reasonably successful. Because they've been doing it for so long. The structure's not quite right yet at Everton. And I think that's a great shame for the money they spent. A new owner comes in and it becomes very difficult as the manager or the head coach to survive if you like, because they're not sure about how football works. So they take opinions from people perhaps they shouldn't sometimes and act on them. And you pay the consequences for that.
You mean agents?
Because as they learn, agents, whoever, yeah, people that they're close to, trying to get some of their clients in, or some of their, I've got a better coach than that one for you, like, you know. So you've got all that. And they can't, honestly, it doesn't matter how good they've been in business, how many billions that they've got, they cannot think about even functioning under that world because they've never done it before, but they try and they make mistakes and obviously they learn from them as they go on. But, you know, for you, it could be very, very costly. And I think that that's just an overview that Everton seem to need to take now. So what is our, what do we look at from the top? And what about, take it from there.
Listen, if I was being really critical about Mole Club, Sam, over the last 5 or 6 years, maybe it would be recruitment, the one word you mentioned earlier. It would be recruitment, having devoted over £500 million in transfer fees. I think recruitment has been really, really disappointing right across the board. Who, as a coach at Everton, are you as a first-team coach there, are you responsible for recruitment or do you just, at the moment, I don't know how Everton worked. Does the coach buy the players or does he get given the players?
You participate.
Right.
You participate because you have to. I mean, the way football is at the top level today, it's a worldwide market. You have to go worldwide because the lack of top quality players for the Premier League. So there's not enough top quality players in the British Isles, you know, at all.
Yeah, true.
For the Premier League, and there's not enough in Europe now either. So you have to go farther afield and search the whole world from where the players come. Now that can only be done by great scouting and analysis. And analysis and scouting together are limiting your mistakes because you're putting two different applications together. You're putting artificial intelligence along with analysis, along with eyes on the prize, eyes on the player. And you then make the move. And that, of course, depends on your results. Like you mean, I mean, like me, I can't go through. If I'm at a football club in late November, early December, I'm relying on the recruitment popping up with some players that I can watch on Wyscat constantly for hours and hours and hours up until the January window comes, and then we go, right, we're going to try for him, and bringing him in because, you know, I know that the only way I'm going to make this club survive till the end of the season will actually put new players into the team that's going to refresh it.
Yeah.
So that's short-term recruitment, very, very risky, but it's the risk you have to take. And you need the backing of the board before you go in there to know what you want and what you need. And that's where you get results and that's where you get them out of trouble. Didn't happen at West Brom, obviously, but
nearly.
You know, in the end, we just weren't good enough to get the wins, but we got better, but not quite good enough, you know. So it can be done that way. But the longer term, like an Everton, Everton was about planning to go into the new stadium, as well as doing the job I was initially brought in to do, which was get them safe, and then where do we go from there? And then unfortunately, that wasn't the case.
History tells us through the exit door, Sam. So I think in talking, you've answered my last question, which is if you get the call again, November, December, you'll take it. You'll take another one.
Oh, yes. Well, it depends who it is. I mean, but, you know, I mean, I'd have to really hope that look at the situation and think that they've got a real chance. You know what I mean? And survival. But, yeah, it would be okay because, you know, when you're actively been in management as long as me, you miss it. You miss it a lot.
And
of course, everybody knows it's short term for me now, which is fine. Everton was supposed to be the one that was going to be long term again, but that didn't work. But short term, fine. Do the job, see where we go from there.
Suits us, Sam. I mean, I have to say, it's always been the case for us down the years. A long-term injury or a sacking was always very good news because we got a guest for the following weekend.
Yes, we did. That was it. Yeah. Very good.
We wish you well. Do wish you well, my friend. Thank you for talking to us, Sam.
Thanks, big man.
Were it possible, we'd bring you out for this weekend. But of course, as I mentioned earlier, our COVID restrictions, Sam, are a little more sensible than they are maybe elsewhere in this part. So hopefully we shall see you soon.
Thanks, big man.
Hopefully.
Cheers, Sam.
Thanks, Sam. Take care of yourself. Bye. I shall always stand shoulder to shoulder. Well, not quite shoulder to shoulder because he's bigger than me. As near to shoulder to shoulder as I can with Sam Allardyce, Andy, who I think has been a phenomenon down the years.
Brilliant.
A great guy as well. He's really good. I'd put him in somewhere now with a Rooney. Something like that.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Or a Fergie.
Yeah, he's at that age now, Sam, isn't he?
Yeah.
He could do that.
Just come and help.
And he's such a good lad.
Yes.
Such a football man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be terrific for someone like
that. So thanks again, big fella. Yeah. That's it. I repeat once again, your smart speaker will pick us up. You can, I know, Andy, now you have one. So
I have. Yes.
Just ask it to play Keys and Grey, the podcast, and follow us, if you wish, on Insta and Twitter at Keys and Grey Pod, A-N-D, Keys and Grey Pod. We shall be here next week, I'm told, with a special guest. Ooh. Yeah, DJ's threatening.
Is he threatening? Yeah. It's a bloody day. That's all I would say.
We'll see you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.